with just days away until a new pro-Israel administration, Secretary Kerry still on the attack against Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Would you agree that the United States shares common values and strategic interests with Israel?
Israel is a fellow democracy, and I think Israel's security is very, very important to the United States.
In your opinion, what did the United States' failure last month to veto the UN resolution with regard to Israel do to our bilateral relationship with Israel?
I think we have got to restore a better relationship with Israel and with our Arab allies. I think there's a sense on their part that we are indifferent to the security situation that they face.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
As we conduct trade negotiations, would you support using those negotiations to help dismantle the BDS efforts in those countries?
From the standpoint of the State Department's view, if confirmed, I would advocate for that position as well, recognizing there's other agencies that will really have the purview over that.
And now, your host.
Hi, this is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad and my brother. They are off for personal reasons. I'm sure you've heard this week some things that have been happening with our family, and we appreciate all the prayers and all of the messages and support we've gotten. And I am here to help fill the void here and talk to you about what's been going on. Obviously, we led with what's going on in Israel. And as we are just a few days away, 10 days away from an administration changing hands, going to the Trump administration, what we have now is a last-ditch effort, not even effort, last-ditch statement of anti-Israel support from the United States. Again, yeah, next Friday we're talking about here, a week and a day away from President Obama's administration going away, President Trump's coming in, but we're still, usually at this point, this is when you're talking about the parties that are coming up, the celebrations, we're moving forward, things are changing hands, there, you know, maybe some pardons here and there, but not usually something this drastic. And maybe, Than, you can kind of speak to what's happening here when it comes to John Kerry and what's about to happen this week.
Yeah, Logan, we've been pointing to this for some time now, obviously. The first step was when the United Nations moved to pass a resolution to condemn settlements in East Jerusalem as well as Judea and Samaria. The United States, for the first time, failed to veto that resolution as it came out of the Security Council and allowed it to pass. And we have been saying this is not the end. There will likely be another effort in the last week of the Obama administration to do something with more teeth, with more enforcement power. And the announcement came yesterday, Logan, that Secretary Kerry is going to be traveling to Paris for this weekend's so-called peace conference. It's going to be taking place on Sunday. And the wide anticipation there, Logan, is that there will be something that comes out of that conference, whether it's another UN resolution or whether it's a unilateral statement by the United States or maybe a consensus statement by a bunch of countries around the world that would further undermine Israel's sovereignty. We said it was coming, Logan. Now, with 8 days left before the end of this administration, it looks like they're not done walking away from Israel.
Right. Don't think that's some sort of coincidence that we're 8 days away. These aren't things that you're thinking that, in a week, we're going to have a new president. It's going to be fine. A lot of these things are, they can put into place that aren't easily reversible. So remember, this stuff is happening as they know a very pro-Israel administration is about to take hands. We've heard that from Tillerson. We've heard that from so many of the people that have been out there today. And we're also going to be talking about that. Obviously, today we've got Ben Carson up. We got Mad Dog Mattis up, doing their hearings. It's been a pretty interesting time to even try to follow what's going on in the news because so many stories are happening. But we do have who's done with their hearings so far. We have Sessions is done. Jeff Sessions for Attorney General. And Tillerson, right?
Yeah, Rex Tillerson finished up his confirmation hearings yesterday. Also, Logan, John Kelly, who's the nominee to be the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. So Those three are done, and another three underway today.
Right, so that's going to be pretty interesting. We're going to talk about that, and we want to hear from you. Give us your calls, your thoughts about the Israel situation, your thoughts on all of these nominees that are up, and it's going to be an interesting week. Again, 1-800-684-3110 is the phone number. Again, I'm going to give it to you one more time. I'm going to slow it down. I know we don't do that enough here. 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us on Facebook and on Periscope broadcasting live. You get to see our pretty faces as we discuss this. Facebook.com/JSekulow. You get your comments in. We have a whole team going through those comments, and many of those make it on the air if you can't give us a call. But lines are open again at 1-800-684-3110. Exciting times. Let's chat about it. We'll be right back.
Thank you. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
To Jay Sekulow Live again. If you're just tuning in, this is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad. We are covering all the hearings that are happening all around Washington today, and there's so many and have going for the last couple of days. Let's take a clip, though. We were listening to what happened with Mad Dog Mattis that's happening right now. We're talking about Israel and his confirmation hearings. Let's listen to a bit of what Mad Dog had to say. It's fun to say that. What Mad Dog had to say about getting a, restoring a better relationship with the state of Israel. By 20.
In your opinion, what did the United States' failure last month to veto the UN resolution with regard to Israel do to our bilateral relationship with Israel?
I'd have to get back and look at that. I say that because I've read what's in the newspaper. I think we have got to restore a better relationship with Israel and with our Arab allies. I think there's a sense in on their part that we are indifferent the security situation that they face.
I mean, I would take it a step further than what you know, Mattis said, which is, I don't know if they believe that we're indifferent. I have a lot of friends in Israel. I spent many trips to Israel, months probably collectively in Israel. I don't think they think that we're indifferent right now. I think that they actually believe that we are intentionally going after them, and we are. I mean, look at what's happening. When I mean we, I mean the United States of America when it comes to making these statements, especially in the last few months. Obviously, a few years ago, you started hearing the 1967 borders. Those things started to kind of come out. Words started to spread. But in the last few months, we've seen, and Than, you can touch on this, an ongoing effort to not only publicly go after Israel, but publicly shame Israel.
It's really been an eight-year effort, Logan. I mean, from the very beginning, this administration took strides to walk away from Israel in international bodies. The most poignant example was, of course, at the United Nations, and then it was finished off after the election of Donald Trump. But before President Obama left office, he actually took the final step in not vetoing the resolution that came out. I would just suggest this. I like the sound you played from General Mattis, but when you take his comments in combination with what we heard from Rex Tillerson yesterday, Logan, we are about to have a 180-degree turn with the next administration being a staunch ally of Israel. The question will be, where will they be starting from? Because I think in the next 8 days, you're going to see even a further shift away from Israel by the United States. And the question will be, how long will it take for Donald Trump and his team to turn that back around?
Right. Unlike certain things, and that's something you could easily just flip back, especially when it's dealing with the UN. And I'll make sure people know that. It's the same with any sort of policy. You're talking about reversing Obamacare. You're talking about any of these laws that have come into place. These aren't overnight things that can be done. There are certain things that certainly can be done. Day one, things can be signed into law. But when it comes to dealing with the UN, that's why they're out there. That's why it's not a lame duck moment right now. They're still actively going out just a week and a day away from changing over. But you mentioned the clip from Portman to Tillerson about that. Why don't we go ahead and hear that bite?
What attitude do you take toward the UN initiatives relating to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Is it your intention to press the Palestinians to resume negotiations with Israel rather than seeking to negotiate through international bodies such as the UN? What's your position on that?
I think, as I've expressed in answers to a couple other questions, this issue has to be settled between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and no one can be coerced into coming to the negotiating table. That will not lead to a solution. So I support the parties being allowed to deal with this, speaking for themselves.
And, you know, we mentioned specifically over the last month, including the event that happened at the UN, the anti-BDS movement event that happened. If you don't know what that is, essentially a call to boycott, divest, and sanction anyone that does business with Israel or companies that are Israeli, or again, just those that associate themselves positively with the state of Israel. And it's gotten some traction. That also came up in the Tillerson hearing from Portman. Let's go ahead and hear that as well, and then we'll take some calls. Bite 5.
As we conduct trade negotiations, would you support using those negotiations to help dismantle the BDS efforts in those countries?
From the standpoint of the State Department's view, if confirmed, I would advocate for that position as well, recognizing there's other agencies that will really have the purview over that.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully you can see that we're going to have a different type of administration in place, but that doesn't mean things can easily switch over. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's go to Stephen, who's calling in North Carolina on line one. Stephen, thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Welcome to the show.
I hate this is happening to Israel. I'm a supporter of Israel, but I think this forces the administration's hand to act on the UN. I believe for years that we need to get out of the UN. And you guys, over the last couple of months, have made me see that we shouldn't withdraw.
Right.
But if we remove the funding for it, it'll go away. And I think that would be a great thing to happen.
I'm not going to claim to be an expert in this situation, but from what we've seen, we are able to be influence or have our influence strong at the UN, have our voices heard, and to just say pull out is not really realistic from my point of view. Than, what are your thoughts on that when it comes to it? But there's also, you know, moves to defund the UN.
Well, this is a really smart call from Stephen, Logan, because really both of what he suggests are correct. I mean, the UN gets its legitimacy from the United States, but the way it's set up is the dangerous moves that we've seen by the UN, Logan, they can be stopped by the United States. I mean, the United States has a veto to stop exactly this kind of resolution. So it's set up in a way to give the United States disproportionate power, and we should use it. The problem comes when the United States stands down, as the Obama administration does. So you don't have to back out of the UN altogether. You can just enforce the veto power that you have. On the funding question, Logan, there should be a penalty for how the United Nations is acting. And Senator Graham and Senator Cruz have already introduced legislation just yesterday that would start pulling funding from the United Nations until that resolution is reversed. My suggestion to the incoming president would be to use both of those leverages going forward.
Right. You see this effort together with Senator Graham and Senator Cruz, not two guys that, though they're on the same party, get along all the time.
Right.
So I think that says a lot. Catherine just said, why can't the UN be defunded immediately? What does that process look like as we have this bill coming up?
Yeah, it's an annual funding process, Logan, and all the dollars through April have already gone out the door. So any efforts to pull funding back would start after that point. But I'll just say, very big picture here. The United States funds the UN to the tune of about $8 billion every single year. We don't know exactly because a lot of those are voluntary contributions. But you're not talking about chump change. You're talking about $8 billion a year. And the first opportunity for the Congress to start pulling that back would be in April when they approve the budget going forward from there.
Very good. We also have some phone lines open. If you want, I want to hear your voice. I know a lot of people will. Let your voice be heard to millions of people that are listening and watching online. Millions. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go back to one of the calls. Let's go to Clarence, who's calling in Florida.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, no problem.
Listen, I'm back Israel 100%. We always have. I'm very upset with this administration that's going out, and I just pray that it'll all work out. And I'm glad to hear Stevens, the first guy's phone call, that we do need to withhold our funds from the UN, and I hope that President Trump coming in will take care of that, and it'll be done that way, because that's the only way I see it happening.
Absolutely.
I'm really disgusted.
Absolutely. Look, the American people have voiced their concern on this situation. The Israelis certainly have voiced their concern on this situation, and we're going to keep covering it. We're going to keep pushing forward on it, because something that just, we can't just let it go, you know, by to the wayside. We can't just let it go. I mean, we hear from our listeners every day. Marion just said she completely agrees with me. Well, thank you. That's a rarity. This administration's efforts to delegitimize Israel is sickening. And Ramirez on Periscope also said President Obama is overly concerned about sealing his legacy. I think that is also a good point. You've seen a, look, just the Trump win somewhat delegitimizes his presidency, because it says that is, we were, not only were done with that, we did not want any more of that. And you're seeing that nationwide, and you're seeing that from speeches. You know, we talked a little about the Donald Trump thing, and we think we're going to get into that in the press conference, the first press conference coming up. Certain people, certain media outlets, not thrilled with the way he reacted. But what I've said is the opposite, is that he is actually, regardless if you think he's a good communicator or not, he's much better than you think, because he's connecting with people on a different level, and people like our callers who just called in who are sick of how things are now. They just think it's ridiculous. We only got a minute and a half. I do want to get to some calls. We're going to be doing that. Susan, stay on hold. Eric, stay on hold. We are the full. We are jammed right now. But lines are going to open up. 1-800-684-3110. Join us on Facebook and Periscope. So many of you are watching. What I like about this, I can actually see my real friends that are watching on this, which just makes it even more terrifying to be doing the show by myself. But I appreciate all the love and support. But it is really fun. In the next segment, we're going to cover that situation with Donald Trump. If you have a point of view, which I know a lot of you do, on that press conference, I have Than, not by myself, but me here in this moment. Will just wanted me to clarify. I have Than. Than, you're with me, right?
You're all by yourself.
That was
Logan.
A long.
Sorry about
that was a long delay. I don't. You can blame that on the delay that we have from Washington to Nashville, but I don't. I don't think that's actually the case. And but like I said, phone lines are jammed. We're going to do our best to get everything situated. We're going to talk about this. Continue on talking about all the hearings that are happening. I'm watching one right now as Pompeo's confirmation hearings begin and continue. We have some that have completed. You said, what was it, Tillerson that didn't get called back for the second day? Who was it? Tillerson didn't call back for the second day? And that's a good sign. That's a good sign, typically, right? Fan, is that a good sign?
That's a good sign. I think he's going to be confirmed, Logan.
Yep. It's interesting times, guys, to be in Washington. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Join us on Facebook. I'm going to talk to you guys during the break. Run some exclusive videos as well. Find us there. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, acLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow. I told you we'd be getting into the Trump press conference. If you guys didn't see it, which if you're on social media at all, or if you watch television, I doubt you at least didn't see the highlights of the first press conference from President-elect Donald Trump since securing his nomination, securing his time as the president, which is coming up in 1 week and a day. Can you believe it? We're here. It felt like that election lasted, well, we're only, what, about 12 months till the next time it starts. It feels like we're going to keep going, though. But as you guys may have seen, it got interesting. And it got interesting because of these stories that seemed very, they couldn't be verified. They were unverifiable stories, and they sounded ridiculous. And regardless if you believe them or not, there's something that people had to apologize over, so to tell you something. So CNN, who ran with the story, and if you guys don't know the story, you can figure it out yourself. They tried to ask a question to President-elect Donald Trump, and let's hear how that went.
Can you give us a question? You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead. Can you?
There you go. Fake news. And that was to a CNN reporter. And here's what I think. My friends, many of them who are on the other side of the political aisle, just in the work that I do, that's what I deal with on most every day. They thought that was ridiculous and upsetting, and the news is people are going to have to treat this differently now. They're going to have to talk differently. I feel it's exact opposite. I feel like whether you agree with his method of speaking, and that was John Acosta from CNN. Jim Acosta. Whether you agree with his method of speaking or not doesn't mean it's not effective. And I think it's incredibly effective. I think you're seeing a president who is going to speak on behalf of the people, for the people, like the people. Some of us kind of feel that way about CNN. I'm sure a lot of the people watching do. It's a lot of people going, finally someone's saying it. And that's going to attract a lot of people. And I'm not talking about just Republicans, just Democrats. You're talking about real people. And that's who he's talking to. And that's who he's always been able to connect with. Though he's a billionaire from New York, he's able to connect on a level that other people aren't able to. Donald Trump and President Barack Obama probably have the most opposite ways of speaking, both incredibly effective orators. You can't take that away from them, whether you agree with them or not. They both are incredible, but they're so far different. It's big, grand, bold dreams, and then it's real, direct facts, words that are easy to understand, and connecting with different people, connecting with real people, middle America. And I think that's what we saw in the election. I think that's what we're going to continue to see, and I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people going, CNN, finally. Finally, someone's standing up to you. Let's go ahead, though, and take a call. A lot of people are calling about the UN situation. Let's go ahead and take one of those. Let's go. There's a couple Erics up. Eric, very popular name. Let's go to Eric first in Los Angeles. Sorry, Eric from Kentucky. You're next. Eric, L.A., Eric, you're up.
Oh, hi. Okay. Yes, thank you very much. This is my personal opinion is that, you know, I'm hearing that the only card we can play is possibly defunding the United Nations. But I think that if that would create a potential vacuum and the Islamic petrodollar, oil money, and Russia and communist countries could potentially step in and just turn things, just to make it just an opposite of what it was intended for. And, you know, we need to support Israel, but we need, you know, we're going to give up the influence and it'll be, you know, just the opposite. United Nations will just be a, you know, much more evil, sinister body if we think that just taking our money out of it is going to solve the problem, because satisfactory funding sources will probably, just fill the tank.
I understand you feel that way, and I'm not saying necessarily that you're wrong in that, but it is somewhat baby steps. There are actual actions that we can do, and you can't just be all or nothing type of world. And I think that's where my point of view is. That's kind of my point of view on a lot of issues, not just the UN. People say, well, we should, when it comes to the life issue, you know, abortion needs to be completely illegal everywhere in the world, and they're not willing to take the steps to get to that point. So I think that's where you have to look at this, Eric, and say, is defunding, yes, it may not be enough for you, but is it a good first step? And Than, I think that's sort of the message that's coming out of people like Ted Cruz or Lindsey Graham.
Logan, that's why I think you have to use multiple tools in the toolbox. I mean, and listen, if the United States backs away from the United Nations, there's no two ways about it. The United Nations loses legitimacy. So to the caller's point, would it be possible that Russia would step in and try to fill the void? Yes, it is. In fact, that's what Vladimir Putin is doing in many regards. However, if at the same time President-elect Trump is grinding the United Nations to a halt by vetoing literally every single thing that comes out of the Security Council, just for example, the United Nations would not be able to function. So if on the one hand, you're withholding funds to delegitimize the United Nations, and on the other hand, using the other diplomatic tools that are available to you, the effect will be moving the UN more towards your way of thinking. So you can't just do one or the other, and that's why we've called for the new president to do both. And by the way, his comments from yesterday's press conference suggest that he is thinking very much along the same lines.
I did want to bring up as well, we talked about it during the break, we still do have a petition going on right now, and that is to help our friend Jeff Sessions, who is up for Attorney General. Now, his hearings are over, and how do you think they went then?
Well, I thought they went great. He was testifying on Tuesday. He did very well. He showed that he's uniquely qualified for the position. Essentially, they did not lay a glove on him. And I know, Logan, you want to get into this later in the broadcast, but just very briefly, I would issue a statement about yesterday's day two of those hearings where Senator Cory Booker did come and essentially alluded that Senator Sessions is a racist or has had a racial past. Logan, I mean, you're well aware of this. We have a racist stain in some ways on our past and in some ways on our present.
Of course. But
leveling a claim of racism against a man as decent as Senator Sessions moves us backwards. And I would say this. I think Senator Booker did great harm to his reputation yesterday. They were not believable attacks. Senator Sessions was defended ably by a friend of mine, William Smith, who's worked for him for a number of years. I think Jeff Sessions is going to be confirmed. I think he's going to be confirmed overwhelmingly.
Yeah, I think it was Cory Booker trying to make his moment, have that moment that everyone remembers in history. And, you know, honestly, the coverage was bigger building up to it than it was after. Because I think a lot of people realized, oh, this is faceless, nameless, claimless. There's nothing they could do about this because it was so false. And we have thoughts from Mr. Booker saying the opposite, how pleased he was. The greatest thing in his life was to co-sponsor something with Senator Sessions. So it's typical politics. We will get into that in, is it the next segment? Will the segment after it? Segment after. So what's going to happen, guys, is at this point, we are at the end of our first half hour of JSEC Hill Live. Some of you lose the show, but we do another half hour. We do a full hour of JSEC Hill Live each and every day, sometimes even more on social media. So if we lose you here, if your station doesn't carry us first, tell the station that you want to hear JSEC Hill Live for the full hour. Then go log over to Facebook, or you can do it after. I don't care. They're not going to pick it up today. Log over to Facebook and join us, facebook.com/JSecula. There you can watch the show, talk to us during the breaks, and comment. Get in your comments. And many of those get on the show. Tracy just said, the president bashed Fox News for 8 years. What do we expect? Anthony says, CNN has lost respect in the journalism world. So a lot of people commenting. Those are just a couple comments that came in through Facebook, and all of them are read. So even if it's something that doesn't make it on there, know that all of them are read from someone here at the ACLJ and JSEC Hill Live team in the social media department, and many of them make it straight here. Now, again, if you want to join us live, ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope, search for JSEC Hill, or get us archived later on the ACLJ app, which is available on iPhone, iPad, and many other Apple devices, as well as Apple TV, Roku. You can find so much there. Again, you can find all that information at ACLJ.org. Again, a second half hour of JSEC Hill Live. We're going to get into the Cory Booker situation. We're going to keep covering this and support our friend Jeff Sessions. Help him get confirmed. You can do that by going to ACLJ.org and signing that petition today and support the ACLJ. We'll be right back with more on JSEC Hill Live.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow. I am subbing in today for my dad and my brother. They are out. As many of you guys know, my grandfather, my dad's father, passed away tragically last week. And they are dealing with those situations, and I'll be joining them later on today. But I wanted to make sure the show went on the air, especially as we have so much breaking news happening, whether that's from Senator Booker or whether that is the situations going on all of from Donald Trump's press conference. I think Will said we've never had so many things happen at one time, where there are confirmation hearings for Ben Carson, confirmations for Rex Tillerson, confirmations for Sessions, the farewell speech of President Obama, the press conference of Donald Trump. So much is happening right now when we are just a week and a day away. That's it, guys. Is it 10 days? 7 days? 8 days? 8 days. 8 days. A week and a day, of course. It's 8 days. A week and a day. Next Friday, we will have a new president sworn in. And it is an interesting time to be a fan and a frequent watcher of the news and of politics. As you saw, I'm sure Donald Trump's statement against CNN won't even take their question in the press conference. And you know what? Who can blame him? I don't. I'm someone who works in media, and there's a certain point where you just have to say, yeah, I'm not working with you anymore if you're going to treat me this way. And do I think that's something that you should be doing often? No. I think those are very rare circumstances, but I think with the situation that's happened over the last 48 hours, it was completely warranted, and I think a lot of America is saying, you know, good on you. We're very thrilled that someone is saying this finally to CNN. All right, Than is joining me, and Than, for those who are just chiming in, when it comes to all of the confirmation hearings, we're seeing pretty much coverage on this all day, whether that's for Ben Carson, Rex Tillerson, so many others, Jeff Sessions, that have all been going on this week. How are things looking for the Trump cabinet?
I think about as good as can be expected, Logan. I mean, it's been a wild week here in Washington, D.C. You listed those who are done. Jeff Sessions finished up his hearings yesterday. Rex Tillerson to be the Secretary of State, he's done as well. John Kelly to be the next Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. And then three hearings going on today. Of course, our good friend Dr. Ben Carson to be the Secretary of HUD. Our friend Mike Pompeo to be the Director of the CIA. And then also John Mattis to be the next Secretary of Defense. Logan, I would say this. I think what these nominees have done is they've gone before the committees, they've taken the tough questions, and they have been able to defend the policy positions of the president without boxing themselves in. I think specifically of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, if he is confirmed. He took very difficult questions on Russia, and I thought both he and the senators redeemed themselves fairly well. They essentially echoed Rex Tillerson said that Russia is a threat and that he would be looking to combat them, and yet the senators reminded him that they will be watching him and holding his feet to the fire. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Logan, I think all of these folks are going to be confirmed.
Well, I think all of us were looking at those, especially those of the people we don't know. We listed all our really good friends of the show and those that are working, like Carson and Sessions or Pompeo. But we look at Mattis and Tillerson, really unknowns to a lot of people, and had said some questionable things, especially in regards to Russia. But you saw a strong statement. But then you saw responses from people like Marco Rubio, who came out and finally said, you know, we're not just going to let you get by with just saying, oh yeah, they're a big threat. We're going to actually make sure that you're doing that. So it's interesting to see. Now, a lot of people are asking why this is happening before the inauguration has happened. Well, that's probably why. Is it mainly just so things can get moving, right? Come next week.
Right. The Senate comes into session before the president is inaugurated. This is a pretty normal schedule, Logan. In fact, some of these nominees will be ready to be voted on inauguration day. The president won't formally send the nominations down until he's inaugurated, but those that have cleared committee process will be up for a vote right away. Now, I would just say quickly, it's going to take Jeff Sessions just a bit longer because of some rules of the Judiciary Committee. It's not because he has a problem. It's just because the Democrats can hold him over for a couple of weeks if they choose to do so.
Right. And much like this election in general, this is a lot of things that we're not used to seeing on our 24-hour news being covered. Because it's such a unique situation, because these are such unique players, whether it's the president or even his cabinet picks or his administration picks. Just a great time to be, like I said, regardless if you're a Republican or Democrat, it's a great time to be watching the news. It's a great time to be an American. A lot of fun coming up. And make sure you tune in and watch us, but also make sure you keep yourself informed. We're going to be right back. We'll be talking about the situation with Cory Booker. I'm sure you guys are well aware about it. We talked about it briefly, but we got the clips and we got some people coming in to join and talk to us about it. We'll be right back with more Jay Sekulow Live.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
8 days. I get it, Will. I know, it's clever. It's just 8 days until President-elect Donald Trump's no longer president-elect, becomes the president. We see the end of the Obama administration. I'm sure for some of you to a cheer. And it'll be an interesting week, like I said, leading up next week. But we wanted to talk about, so let's set the stage a little bit. Jeff Sessions having his hearings to be approved, confirmed, however you want to put it. Yeah, I believe confirmed is the word. And uncharacteristically, a fellow senator goes beyond just being one of the panelists and actually makes a statement. But first, let's hear from Cory Booker from just 10 months ago. Let's go ahead.
So this is truly one of my life's greatest moments. I am humbled to be able to participate here in paying tribute to some of the extraordinary Americans whose footsteps paved the way for me and my generation. I feel blessed and honored to have partnered with Senator Sessions in being the Senate sponsors of this important award.
Blessed and honored. One of the greatest things in his life. But now, we fast forward just a year later. Not even a year later, 9-10 months later. And let's hear what Cory Booker had to say about Senator Sessions this time.
Senator Sessions has not demonstrated a commitment to a central requisite of the job, to aggressively pursue the congressional mandate of civil rights, equal rights, and justice for all of our citizens. In fact, at numerous times in his career, he has demonstrated a hostility towards these convictions and has worked to frustrate attempts to advance these ideals.
Now, a lot of us have heard these claims. We're here now. Joining us is Professor Harry Hutchinson, who you've heard on the show for the last year multiple times. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping me get through this segment and in schooling all of us into what's going on. So for people who don't know, where do these claims come from and how do you see this going?
That's an excellent question, Logan. The Sessions confirmation hearing illustrates several things about the opponents of President-elect Trump. First, as Eric Erickson reports, since Election Day confounded the expectations of Democrats, many Democrats have launched a root and branch effort to label every Trump supporter a racist,
right,
including everyone who is willing to work with Trump. What Democrats conveniently forget is that the Democrats were the party of slavery and the KKK. Indeed, Democrats gave us Klan leader Robert Byrd, a man who has been warmly praised by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Second, Democrats, like many politicians, are consumed by ambition. And ambition causes politicians to fall prey to hypocrisy. Logan, these two forces combine to provide a toxic environment for Senate confirmation hearings,
right,
particularly for Jeff Sessions. And as a consequence, Democrats and leftist groups have brought improvised explosive devices to the confirmation hearings in order to portray Jeff Sessions as a racist. Cory Booker is Exhibit A.
Right, absolutely. And look, you hear it. You hear it in these comments. They're very nondescript. They're very, he's done things. He's aggressively pursue the congressional mandate of, he's just demonstrated a commitment not to the job. So, I mean, there's no evidence to really any of this. There's a couple quotes out of context here, things from 40 years ago. And I think people just, it's easy for you to jump to conclusions when you hear a senator from Alabama who comes off, has sort of the speaking pattern that he does, like many people in my family. It's easy to paint this picture.
Absolutely.
Without having to really produce any evidence.
Absolutely. And so Cory Booker sets up Jeff Sessions at the hearing by arguing that when it comes to a choice between standing with Senate norms or standing up for conscience and country, he will always choose conscience and country, which simply means that when it comes to telling the truth and placing his own ambition before the nation, Cory Booker, in my judgment, will always choose his own ambitions over the national interest.
Yeah, and it felt
that
way.
And this is a problem.
Right, it felt that way. It felt like this was, and we talked about this with Thane a little bit earlier, that this was his moment. This was Cory Booker's moment to finally step up and say, we've heard his name a lot, we've seen him a lot, has never really taken that next step towards the White House or something like that. He hasn't had his Barack Obama moment yet.
Absolutely.
At the DNC. Do you think that was what, partially at least, this was his setup to that, to try to make a big political statement to people? He's making news, and he becomes this poster boy that in 4 years, 8 years, or 4 years can dethrone, Donald Trump.
I think that's correct. What he wanted, in my opinion, was campaign footage. Sitting on the Senate floor, attacking a fellow senator. Why? Because he allegedly is putting the interest of the nation ahead of Senate tradition. So Cory Booker offered a number of stale bromides: no justice, no peace. He then adds the following claim: the arc of the moral universe does not naturally curve toward justice. We must bend it. This is pure, unadulterated ambition on full and shameless display. Certainly this approach worked very well for then-Senator Barack Obama, who shocked the Democratic Party by becoming the nominee in 2008.
Right.
Essentially, he was a freshman senator. He had never authored any significant legislation. In other words, he had never really accomplished anything except give great speeches.
Right. You can't take that away from him. Now, there was someone on the other side, and we'll kind of set up this a little bit for me. This was from Willie Huntley, who was actually on the pro-session side. He was a pro-session witness on the panel. We'll get you a little bit more information about him. But take a listen to what he said, and then at the end, I'll explain to you who you're hearing from. So this is from Huntley. Go ahead.
One of the things that I can say about Jeff is that he has always been the same person that I have known. At no point in the time that I've known Jeff has he demonstrated any racial insensitivity.
All right, and that was, he's the former U.S. district attorney that worked with him in Alabama. So we were hearing that someone who's worked directly with him, who would have certainly dealt with if Jeff Sessions was a racist, certainly probably would not have been making these comments. So again, these are blameless, these are faceless statements that have been made. And like you said, I believe as a big political moment that he can replay 1,000 times, Cory Booker. Like, the problem is, look, it's running right now. We're seeing it. But this is the first time the last hour I've been watching it that they've even covered it. So I don't know if it's getting the because I think it wasn't as powerful as maybe he had hoped. And the fact that Jeff Sessions is probably going to go right through in a couple weeks, that it may not have ended up being that statement that he wanted. It ends up being a bit of a flub.
Well, I think so, except keep in mind that Cory Booker has probably instructed his staff to capture the video.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so when he goes out on the stump, he will consistently refer to his time in the Senate standing up to Jeff
the
Sessions.
The first ever senator to break the norm and to go on the other side.
And the second point is, this is all part of a program and policy to demonize and delegitimize Donald Trump as well.
Right, of course.
So it's an attack on Sessions, clearly, but it's also an indirect attack on Donald Trump.
Yep, let's hear one more comment from the former U.S. District Attorney, again, that worked with him directly in Alabama. We're talking about directly with Jeff Sessions, who will be our next Attorney General. Let's go and hear this statement.
In my opinion, Jeff Sessions will enforce and follow the laws of the United States even-handedly, equally, and with justice for all.
And when they pressed Jeff Sessions, that's exactly what he said, including on issues that he may morally be, you know, not, whether it's life issue or marriage, things that he said, well, if it's the law, I'm going to uphold the law. As someone that would, if you're the Attorney General of the United States, saying, yeah, I mean, personally, this is not where I feel like the law should be. But he didn't say, no, I'm not going to do it. It's like they were trying to set him up to say these things. And anyone who is in that position intelligently goes, no, I know what this position holds. And sometimes you have to necessarily agree with 100% of what's happening.
Jeff Sessions believes in the Constitution.
Right.
He doesn't believe in bending the Constitution, even to support his own perspective.
Yep. Unlike others. All right. We'll be back shortly with more. Thank you, Professor Hutchinson, for coming in, like I said, schooling us. It was a nice lesson. I learned a lot. I'm sure you guys did as well on how this situation unfolds. We'll continue to talk about it, though. So we got another segment left. We're going to take all these calls. I know, look, I'm talking to you, Tom, and to Nancy, and to Heather, and to Roxy, who have all been holding over 25 minutes. And hey, even you, Robert, 17 minutes, not too bad. We're going to get to all your calls as well as a couple more. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. And again, we still have that petition for Jeff Sessions up at ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online aclj.org.
Secular Live, final segment for the day. Than Bennett is joining me. I'm sure he's going to help me get through some of these calls. You guys asked some questions that maybe to quote our president are above my pay grade. So let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's go to Tom in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, Tom.
I just wanted to speak real quick to the UN situation, as I'm sure most people know, or maybe that's the problem. Americans should find out more about the UN. We are the thing that stands that body. I go against the norm from thinking it is a governing world body. Our veto power is the main reason why we can never pull out. Our money, sure. I think we should wean them pretty hard and let them see what it's like to pay the bill. And also, I think it's most important that our ambassadors start putting out the same type of resolutions. Start putting out resolutions that, you know, because of Sharia law, how women's rights are being affected in these Arab countries, and there should be sanctions put against them. At the same time, there should be sanctions that the will pull our military personnel, because I, from someone who had the experience of it, it's the worst duty in the world serving in the UN as American military personnel.
It's very interesting comments, Tom, and I think a lot of people agree with you. Than, when it comes to our influence in the UN, now obviously, when I mean ours, I don't mean the ACLJ, because the ACLJ, especially our European arm, actually has quite a bit of influence in what we do here, but also when it comes to America's role in the UN. How do you see that shifting and shaping as clearly now? I mean, I'm sure they're thrilled with the fact that we're going in and saying, yes, you know, divest and sanction Israel, boycott them. But when it comes down to it, and we haven't said specifically that, but we've said pretty much all except that. How do you feel about the new administration and their role within the UN and how that is going to be received?
Yeah, Logan, I would actually endorse a lot of the comments that the caller just made. I mean, for sure. the outgoing ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, actually put it this way. Said, if we lead, other nations will follow. And I think that's exactly right. The problem has been the direction that this current administration is leading in. And just functionally, so the caller and the rest of the audience has an understanding here. There are five nations, Logan, that have veto power at the United Nations. The United States is one of them. It's when we lay down that power that problems happen. So I think the ideal situation would be that the United States remains involved, but actually exerts all of the influence that we have. We haven't been doing that the last 8 years.
Absolutely. I think you're going to see that change. Let's go ahead and move on, because we got a lot of calls. Our two lines open. If you want to get your voice heard, maybe able to get to you, we'll do our best. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Heather, who's calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes. I was just going to ask, if when Trump takes office, if he were able to reverse the Israeli ruling in the UN, how long would it take to become in play, actually?
Well, how does that actually work there, Than? It's not necessarily just going in and saying, reverse the ruling.
Yeah, the resolution itself's not going away, Logan. Right. I mean, that was the problem with the United States not vetoing. Let's put it this way. Functionally, for that resolution to go away, where there would have to be a new resolution introduced, and not only would it have to pass, you would have to get all of those permanent five members to not veto it, which was what the United States could have done this year. That's the United States, the United Kingdom, China, Russia, and France. Logan, that's not going to happen. So what the new administration has to do is try to mitigate the damage. We won't go into all the details, but essentially there are boycott efforts going on within the United Nations right now. It is those kind of secondary negative ramifications for Israel that the new administration can push back against. They will be able to stop a lot of that. But this resolution itself, it's here to stay.
It's the reason we've been warning you, you know, these last few months are some of the most dangerous or most influential somewhat, because all the gloves are off. You can do what you want. And certain aspects, like this situation in the UN, aren't things you can go in and just say, okay, I'm the president now, turn that off. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way the world works. And yes, there are certain things that our president can go in and do that, sure. But with situations like this in the UN and the relationship with Israel, that we'll be a stronger country in support of Israel, there are things that have been set in place that we can't necessarily get rid of. It's just the truth. It's just the facts. Let's move on. Let's go to Nancy in Michigan on line two. Lawrence, Michigan. You're on
Hello.
The air. Hey, Nancy.
I'm so sorry about your grandfather.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Okay. My statement is about the UN. The UN, there's five nations, they said, that can still do something about this. Now, they know that the Trump administration, and actually the American people, because they can hack us and find out all the information they need to know, that that we support Israel. So I guess I just don't quite understand why they would want to build up, actually, Obama, tear down Israel to give Obama, to make Obama look good. I mean, if there's five nations, I mean, they're, Russia said they apparently didn't really want to do this. England said they didn't really want to do this, but they went ahead and did it anyway.
Right.
But why would they go, they know that this is against the Trump administration, so they know they're going to bump heads with Trump the whole time.
Well, they're trying to make their influence loud and clear. And though there's only 9 days, those are influential, or 8 days. Those are influential 8 days, Nancy. And you're right, they will bump heads against the Trump administration, but that doesn't mean that in this last effort, they're going to try to make sure their policies get heard. That's what we've been saying. Let's go, though, back to back. We're going to hear how things are going to hopefully change towards better support of Israel. First, you're going to hear from a comment from Senator Rob Portman talking to Rex Tillerson. Actually, two of these comments back to back from Portman to Tillerson during his hearings talking about the BDS community. And again, we'll explain what that is when we come back.
Would you make it a priority to counter boycott, divestment, and sanctions efforts against Israel? Make sure Israel is not held to a double standard, but instead treated as a normal member of the international community?
Yes, I would.
Any preliminary thoughts as to how you would do that?
Well, I think just by raising it in our interactions with countries that do put in place provisions that boycott whatever elements of activity or business with Israel in their country, that we begin by highlighting that we oppose that and just expressing that view, and that those countries need to understand that it does shade our view of them.
All right, we have only 2 minutes left in the show today. Jennifer, quickly, you're on the air from L.A., a comment related to this situation. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. God bless you for having me. Real quick,
thank you.
I realize that at an administrative level, we have to deal with BDS and our treatment of Israel and what happened at the UN. But I also strongly believe that there is a groundswell movement, especially in our college campuses and in different places in our culture, that not only support BDS, but
sure,
they're propagandizing it. And I think that if we don't address that, soon with a different administration, we could be facing the same problem again.
And quickly, your response to that.
Jennifer's absolutely correct. We're engaging that as well. But, Logan, the United Nations is giving that groundswell movement the tools they need to move forward on it. They're creating a database. That groundswell of movement would use that database for their BDS efforts. She's absolutely right. We have to combat it on both fronts.
All right, quickly, Robert in Inglewood, Florida. Robert, you've been holding a while, and I'm sorry we are running out of time, but you got about 40 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. With the UN moving aggressively against Israel and further away from the American views, I believe that we should start to defund the UN, but remain in the UN to protect our interests.
Well, that's
at the same time as we defund it, we use that money to build the wall on the Mexican border.
Well, the first part of that, that's what Senator Graham and Senator Cruz are proposing. And we'll have more about that tomorrow and next week on JSEC Hill Live. Thanks for dealing with me today. It's been a lot of fun. Again, go to ACLJ.org to sign that petition in support of Jeff Sessions, as well as ACLJ.org for everything you need, including our social media, Facebook.com/JSecKilo, the ACLJ app, the JSEC Hill Live podcast, everything you need. You can find it right there on ACLJ.org. Again, thank you so much. Thanks for all your thoughts, your prayers, and support. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on JSEC Hill Live.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.